Welcome back to the Command Point Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan. Today I'm joined by Shane, as always. And we've got a lot of stuff to get through today. A lot of stuff has happened in Kill Team recently. Some updates from the competitive side of Kill Team. And some new things to look forward to of Kill Team. We're all over the place this episode. Episode 31. Shane, how's it going?
You know, it's going. How about you?
Yeah, can't complain. First thing on the agenda, and probably what has everybody the most excited right now, is the Assault Intercessors and the updates to the Necron Warriors from the Indominus box are finally coming into Kill Team. We had talked about these models a little bit. We made like a series of videos about the Indominus box models and talking about which models we thought would actually make it into Kill Team. And these two were like givens in our opinion. So not really that surprising. Let's look at the Assault Intercessor first. So it's got movement 6, weapon skill, ballistic skill 3 up, strength 4, toughness 4, 2 wounds. 2 attacks, and then figure you bring the chainsword with it, so it's really 3 attacks. Leadership 7, 3 up save. Pretty good model overall. I mean, it comes natively with that like 18-inch heavy bolt pistol with the chainsword. It's going to be all the Astartes chainswords, hopefully, will be AP1 now, or at the very least, this model's chainsword is going to be AP1. What do you think of these guys, and how do you think they're going to, what do you think they're going to bring to Space Marine Kill Teams going forward?
Yeah, the only thing that kind of surprised me was 2 attacks. I was expecting 3, kind of like Reavers, I guess, but 2 looks like it's going to be. But with, obviously, like you said, the chainsword, they'll get a 3rd. It's pretty much, it's just an intercessor with a different gun, right? Or a weapon, rather. So, I mean, nothing too surprising there. I can't imagine there's going to be any, like, passive extra abilities. Because I think right now the main comp is going to be, like, we're going to compare it to Reavers, right? Because Reavers are kind of the same niche. So Reavers have an extra attack. They have that leadership debuff to enemy models. And but they don't get the cool chainsword with the AP1. They get, like, a...
Yeah, and the combat knife, that just gives them the +1 attack. So I think we'll see a lot less Reavers now, just because in competitive Kill Team, you know, crazy vertical maps where things like the grappling gun or the grappling hook that the Reavers can equip, you know, it doesn't really make much of an appearance in competitive play for Kill Team. So I think we're going to see Reavers just kind of go on their way out unless they get some sort of significant update. And they've already been put out to pasture in competitive Warhammer 40K, big hammer. So
yeah, do we have like an estimation on how much Assault Intercessors are going to cost?
Okay, so right now, regular Intercessors in 40K, I believe, are 100 points. For a squad of 5, and that's just with like basic weapons, just like their basic bolt rifles, no power weapons, no chainsword for the sergeant, except I think the chainsword is free. So they're 100 points. Comparatively, a squad of 5 Assault Intercessors is 95 points. So with these guys coming in, I could see them being like 15 points per model, and then the just regular intercessors getting a boost, not really a boost, it's more a debuff, becoming like 5 points more expensive comparatively. But
yeah,
I'm not sure if GW is going to do that big of an update. I think they're just going to drop these guys in, and whatever points cost they get, they're not going to be shifting points for Space Marines.
Yeah, I can see them being cheaper than intercessors, but mm-hmm. more expensive than Reavers, which I think would be a really good value unit.
Yeah, I think they'll be cheaper than Reavers too, which is the other reason as to why Reavers are, you know.
Oh, if they're cheaper than Reavers, then Reavers are for sure dead.
Yeah, and that's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, if they're more expensive than Reavers, then I can see there being some reason to take those models still, maybe.
Yeah, against T3, they're good. They're good, so they're going to be cheaper than these guys. It says that they can take the Zealot specialism, so that will be at least one of the specialisms that they can take. The Sergeant can take a Power Fist or a Thunder Hammer. How do you feel about the Power Fist on this 2-wound model with no invuln save?
It sounds like a regular Intercessor Sergeant to me. So,
yeah,
nothing we're not used to. It's a good model. How much it costs, but Power Fist Intercessor Sergeant right now is already a pretty commonly seen model. So, I'm sure that having the ability to take a second one could be really nice, potentially.
Yeah. All right. So moving on from those guys, Necron Warriors, they didn't really get any sort of update to their data sheet, I don't believe. Still movement 5, weapon skill, ballistic skill 3 up, strength, toughness 4, 1 wound, 1 attack, leadership 10 with a 4 up save. All they got was they just got a new gun. Instead of the Gauss Flayer, they can now take the Dark Reaper. And we talked a little bit about that. They didn't put the stats for that, for the...
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, it's... I'm trying to remember back to when I saw the Gauss Reaper profile for the first time. I think it's Rapid Fire 1, 14 inches. It's like a really short range weapon.
Yeah, like 14 or 18, I think.
Yeah, and it's AP2, I think.
Yeah.
It might be Strength 5.
Yeah,
I might be on the money there, but I could be.
That sounds right to me. Yeah, so I mean, we talked a little bit about it. I'm not really sure if you'll see a lot of the Gauss Reapers.
Yeah, it really depends on if you have to pay for it, you'll definitely never see it, like the extra from like what a 12.
Yeah.
Because 14 inches is just so, like, that's so short range for a rapid fire weapon. You need to be within 7 inches to get 2 shots.
Yeah.
I can see one with the idea that you would advance with him and then use Tireless Advance to ready him up, even though he advanced.
Yeah.
And that could be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I mean, I don't see it changing the Necron meta too much.
Yeah. In the article, they talk about superior inheritance, the Necron tactic, and this is not a new tactic. They've had this since, was it Elise or was it the annual?
Technically, it was not made like officially legal until the annual, but it did exist before that from the Necron Kill Team box.
Right.
They sold. But before it was in the annual, there wasn't like an official ruling on whether or not this was a legal tactic because it technically wasn't in the book.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't in the mm-hmm. book or the Elites book. So when we got it in the annual, it was like, okay, yeah, we can use this now for sure.
All right. So at the end of the Warhammer community article, they say that every model, from the Indominus box set, we'll be getting brand new rules to liven up your skirmishes. And because this is a Kill Team article, it literally, as it's written in black and white, it seems that they're telling us that everything in the Indominus box is going to be coming to Kill Team. I personally find that hard to believe because there are some models in there which I don't think have any place in Kill Team. Shane, what do you think?
I'm calling BS on that. Whoever wrote that has done a serious number on us all because there's just no way. There's no way that everything in that box is coming to Kill Team. I refuse to believe it. I will happily eat my words if I'm wrong, but I don't think we're going to be getting bikes. I don't think we're going to be getting... We might get Scorpec Destroyers at some point, but even that would be kind of big. But
those models are insane.
Yeah, they are.
I'm like, do I want to play Kill Team if the Scorpec Destroyers make an appearance on the tabletop?
Like, and then like Eradicators and stuff. Like, there are no Gravis Armor Marines in Kill Team. So
for them,
casually throw that out there at the end. Like, so weird, I feel. I don't know.
Yeah. And let's not also forget, this isn't like the first time that Warhammer community has made a mistake when writing a Kill Team article. Most recently, they came out with a Kroot article, and in the article, there was a link to buy Kroot models, but they don't sell the Kroot models anymore. Yeah. They were like either out of production or they were out of stock at the time of the article publishing. So, you know, they make mistakes like this. It's a big company. It's a big operation they got over there. So I would not be surprised if this was just some sort of miscommunication. But yeah, like, come on, Eradicators.
Yeah.
What do we need 36 inch assault meltagun for in Kill Team? And don't tell me it's the Scorpec destroyers, because they're also I just feel bad for all the other factions, man. If yeah. that's the case.
Hey, this would be this would be the first time we have like real Codex creep in Kill Team.
Yeah.
And which would be absurd, because there's still things from 8th that they haven't updated. Like a lot of Gene Stealer cult stuff from 8th still hasn't been ported over. Like in that game,
like Brood Brothers.
Like Aberrants, I was thinking, get a rending claw, and every time they fight with a power pick, they get to swing with their rending claw like twice, I think. And Kill Team, they don't even have a rending claw.
Yeah.
Let alone a rule to let them fight with it. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff that Kill Team just doesn't have.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so moving into our next topic, let's talk a little bit about the Worldwide Open that we've got going on over on our Discord. So what round are we in now? I think we're in like the fourth round of Swiss.
Yeah, we are just entering. Actually, at the time of recording, the pairings for round 4 just went up like an hour ago.
Oh, crap, they did.
I don't even know if you saw this. I just saw
this. No, I did not.
yeah, it is. You're playing against. I got it here. It's right over here. Let me get it.
It's right here.
It's right. You're playing against Manco.
Oh, okay.
My Drakari protege. you guys are both playing Prophets of Flesh, so
it's gonna be a Drakari Rack mirror match.
Yeah, shout out to Manco.
Nothing is going to die in that game. Yeah.
Shout out to Manco. He's the guy that made. He's a music producer. He made the music that you guys, the lovely music that you guys hear at the beginning of our podcast.
Uh huh.
Real good guy. Yeah. I am playing against Rashist Fern, who is playing Valhalan Imperial Guard for the fourth round. And oh, it's like okay. Win and in. Like, we're both 2-1 and like we have a lot of points. So the winner is getting in to the top 8 for sure.
Sick.
I got to deal with Gottfried, but then I'm playing Necron, so he has to deal with that. So, I mean, we'll we'll see.
Yeah.
May the best broken faction win.
Yeah, seriously.
yeah, though, it's been a pretty intense past few rounds and Worldwide Open. As of right now, in first place after 3 rounds is let me make sure it's ARH, who is playing Evil Sons Orcs, who I think we had S tier.
I think so.
Yeah, he is 3-0. He's running Evil Sons Orcs.
Wow.
He's got 49. He's got he's got 49 points, so he's got the most points in the tournament.
That's fun crazy. Story.
I actually have the second most points in the tournament with 48, but I have a loss. So
so that's why.
I'm all the way down in 8th place as of right now.
Oh, okay. I'm definitely in the lower brackets. My scores literally went 9, lost, scored 9 points, won, maxed, got 18 points against Alex the Kid Rutner Eric and his Asuryani, and then I lost to Micromancer with a score of 9 points. So
yeah, I think you're in 29th out of 45 right now. So like you're right around the middle.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's
Can I just awful. Talk about, there's one thing I want to talk about for sure.
Sure.
Second place in this tournament right now is this guy Vexlar. He is playing Harlequins. He is 3-0 and he has 45 points.
Yeah, I noticed that.
That is
Which is crazy bonkers. To me. So he must. So he just dodged like every psychic matchup, which honestly is not. I'm assuming he did. I genuinely do not know who he's played against, But, you know, when you're playing Harlequins and you have a score like that, it's probably most likely that you dodged any matchups against Grey Knights or Thousand Suns.
Yeah, he has not had to play. He's had to play Guard and Kroot in second and third round, and I don't remember who he played in the first round.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's definitely like the outlier here. I was looking at the stats today, prior to this update, but yeah.
And then beyond that, it's Eldar, Tau, Necrons, Thousand Suns, Necrons, Guard, Heretic Astartes, and yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Well, looking forward to whatever game we can get to stream this week. I know that we're going to have... we're definitely going to stream a game. I'm not sure what it is yet.
Hopefully we can do more than one, because there's going to be so many like high pressure games this week that I think are going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
So we'll see what we can do there.
Hopefully not including Necrons. I'm sick of watching Necrons play this game, man.
Yeah. I'm playing them, so I
know. I can only imagine how you feel, man.
In fact, round 4. Oh my goodness. So Benji and Micromancer are playing for round 4, and they're actually playing their game right now. So
they're
live at the moment.
That's crazy.
Can't watch that one, sorry. But
It's
been an interesting tournament for sure. Really surprised to see Harlequins up there. I think it's really, really neat that we could potentially have Harlequins as the first overall seed. That is a potential result here
that would be
out of the Swiss.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Yeah. And then the poor guy plays Thousand Suns in the first round
and just gets bodied.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay, so how did your teams go? You said like obviously you're kind of like high up there, but I think you're 2-1 right now. Yeah, soon to be 3-1,
hoping that that's the case. My first game was my loss. I played the Thousand Suns player James K, who is in 7th right now. So he's right one spot ahead of me, and I'm the only team that is not undefeated that is in top 8. So I'm the highest scoring player other than the number one guy. So I'm right barely in that 8th spot, but none of that's going to matter if I don't win. So I got to win. My second game was against Drakari, Prophets of Flesh. And that was definitely, I mean, Drakari is always kind of a tricky one, but I think Necrons in general have a pretty decent matchup against them. They can like, get the volume of attacks onto those racks to like actually
exactly
kill them.
Yeah, just re-rolling everything.
Yeah, that one was ultimately kind of decided by one or two moments where I was able to get like out of LOS charges. That was intense stuff. And then my third round, I played against Ultramarines.
Interesting.
Yeah. I took a really interesting list in that game. I ran... So for those of you that are really tired... I wish this game was recorded, because for those of you that are really tired of like the same old Necron list every game, I actually did something pretty interesting. I took 3 Immortals, 2 Lich Guards, and 1 Flayed One. So I only ran 6 models. And he took 5 Marines, I believe. And I killed 3 of his Marines in the shooting phase of turn 1 with my Immortals. I comms buffed 1 Immortal, shot 1 of his Marines off of a point, and then used the Superior Inheritance tactic to shoot again, and then killed another Marine. And then one of my other Immortals killed another Marine, and he had 2 guys left, and one of them got killed by a Lich Guard. So that game was a max for me. And I'm going up against Guard next, so that should be super interesting.
Yeah. What was that player's record prior to that game? He was 1-0.
He was one. The Ultramarines player is 1-1. We were both.
Oh, he was 1-1. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good for him. I mean, Ultramarines are definitely not the best Space Marine faction, so more power to him. I know that he's been playing them for a long time.
Yeah.
Elite Slayer, I think his name is over on the Discord. Correct.
Yes, that is Elite Slayer. He's a nice guy.
Yeah. Okay. So, what do we got next? So you wanted to talk about, I guess, like the top finishing kill team factions. I don't know, how would you word this?
So I thought it would be a cool segment to look at, and this is getting past the current stuff, where we wanted to just do a segment where we look back and look at all the factions in Guild Team. This game's been around for like 2 years, two and a half years, 2-3 years, and look at each faction and talk about the best tournament performance they've ever had. And we're talking like big tournaments, like GT and majors, not like RPTs down the road where the Custodes player took first. So I figured we could just go down like alphabetically and look at this. So, and I also think it's interesting because a lot of the factions that have won big tournaments have been nerfed afterwards by GW. GW does not nerf a lot. They don't change a lot in Kill Team.
Yeah.
But things have gotten nerfed. So let's look at Adeptus Astartes right at the top. So I like talking about this one. This is a personal favorite of mine.
Gee, I wonder why. Yeah, no, I do too. I mean, this was probably the deepest I ran at a tournament was running Astartes for the Bay Area tournament simulation.
Yeah, so the best, spoiler alert, guys, the best placement for Astartes in Kill Team history tournament-wise was Bats. I won that tournament with the Black Templars and White Scars. And out of all the ones that I'm thinking about, Astartes is one of the only ones, if not the only one, that didn't get nerfed after the tournament win. Part of it was because this was during the TTS time, so
yeah,
I don't know how much GW is paying attention to that, if at all. Probably not at all. But it is interesting that Astartes have been nerfed. It was just before the TTS era with the Death Deny change in the annual.
Right, yeah.
And it makes me wonder, like, that team that I ran, having 2 CP Death Deny, that would have been disgusting.
Yeah, oh man. Yeah, just thinking about that, just being able to reliably pop that every single turn instead of that. Yeah. Ooh, do I spend a CP here to do this, to do Battle Brothers or Up and Atom or whatever?
Yeah.
Having to basically budget for it. Yeah, that your team would have just taken off and stomped. I mean, it did, but it was a lot harder.
Yeah, you know? I had to make tough choices once in a while. Astartes are the kind of team that they can win the big one at 125. I think that is kind of what we've figured out here.
Yeah.
Obviously, Killhold helped them at being an elite team, but I think they can still win the big one in a packet that, you know, rewards killing, even if it's not through the primary. Maybe it's just through open choice secondaries with like a lower primary cap, like 9-point primary cap. I mean, Astartes is good. They're real, real good. Next up, and this is one that I'm not too sure about, but it is Adeptus Custodes. They have definitely never won a big tourney.
Yeah.
I know they've won like RTTs in the past. But to think
about, that's true.
Yeah, to think about like their best placement, I genuinely don't know. It might be, I know at LVO, there was like some guys that hovered around top 20. At that tournament, which really isn't that great, but
yeah,
it's something.
Their best finishes were like those those LVO prep tournaments that we were hearing about over on the West Coast, where they were just like stomping everybody and everybody was horrified of them. But
then nothing really came of that.
They just didn't show up to LVO. I mean, they did, but they did not perform.
Yeah, they were pretty average, like gatekeeper, like middle of the pack level. They have not won any big ones outside of that. I don't even know if they've really made any top eights at a big one.
I would be surprised if they did.
Yeah, and obviously I've looked through the big tournaments in the U.S. and in Spain and in the U.K. But outside of that, it's hard to find data on a lot of this stuff. So I know that there's Kill Team action going on over on the Eastern Europe, especially, and I'm not talking about commanders either. So I can't really speak for like what's going on in Ukraine, or in like Prague or anything like over like or Hungary, like any of those like countries, it's hard to find tournament results from that. I looked. If anybody would love to reach out, hit us up in the comment section on YouTube, or message us on Discord or something, because any resource to find tournament results would be cool, because
yeah,
it's interesting to see how like different metas are performing. Next up, Adepta Sororitas. So they have only been a thing for like a year.
Yeah.
And they have never really placed that well in any big tournament.
Yeah. Which is a shame, because I think at 125 they're a good team.
Yeah.
And I personally think that they can pull it off, man. I mean, they've got the models to do it. They've got, I guess not the tactics, but you know, they've got, geez, where do we start? They got Godfrey, they got Pius Vorn,
they're a really good melee team.
Yeah, they're a fantastic melee team.
I would love to see elite models for them, like some of those big gunner models that they can get in big 40K. Retributors, like, I believe they're called.
I think so.
But yeah.
Yeah, they got like big heavy meltas and heavy flamers.
That would be cool, because right now they're very forced into being a melee team with like maybe one or two gunners. So they kind of end up being like a, almost like a Heretic Astartes type, but they don't get to reroll charges. And yeah, I think the best placement ever for Sororitas might have been at Bats, and I believe a guy got out of group stage with them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But that was top 32, so not amazing, but like kind of middle of the pack.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. AdMech, their top result ever was second place at LVO 2020, and I don't think they've ever won like a GT or a major.
Yeah, no, not to my knowledge.
And they might be like the best faction without a big tourney win.
Yeah, that's super surprising.
Yeah.
Oh, they came very close at LVO 2019.
Yeah. Oh, did they?
No, LVO 2020 they came.
Yeah, yeah, that was with Alex.
Excuse me. Yeah.
It's weird because come to think of it, nobody really other than, well, actually that's not true. I was going to say nobody other than Alex Squares has ever even really taken them to top eight, but our Ray very J. own Ray J has taken them to top eight at two of our TTS tourneys, at the Invitational and in TAO, which just happened.
Yeah, they're definitely due for one as a faction.
Yeah,
I mean, I can't think of two players who are more different than Alex and Ray J.
Yeah,
right? Really. And they both have been able to consistently find success with that faction. You know, Alex obviously has not played a lot of TTS tournaments. And when, you know, with COVID and everything, they don't really have a lot of tournaments going on. So,
yeah. Alrighty.
So what do you got next?
Astra Militarum. And this is one that has a history of success, both old and new.
Yep.
So they won the original Nova. That was Elliot Miller.
Yep.
Who took his plasma spam and just kind of busted the meta. And they just won with the Blackstone Guard with TAO at TAO with for Micromancer ran those.
Mm-hmm.
And they are a really strong team. They've pretty much always been a really strong team.
And then they just got stronger.
Yeah. I mean, there was like a period in between where people weren't really playing them. Like over on the West Coast, there was not really like a big Militarum player during like the era of like Michael T. Holy dominating.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody over here really was even playing them that much. But I think since the TTS era came about, people have really realized how good the Blackstone Guard list is.
Yeah.
And yeah, they,
it's the, so good, man.
Yeah. The retainers, it's so stupid. It's like a commander's list.
It is.
Yeah.
They got to make changes to those models, man.
Gotta give.
Yeah, some like put just to increase their points or something, man. I don't know. At the very least. All right. So what's next?
Osteriani. this might be the most winningest faction in the history of Kill Team. Everybody's heard of Michael T. Holy.
LVOs. Yeah.
Yeah. BAO, SoCal, LVO, Michael T. Holy did the trifecta over on the West Coast.
The triple crown of Kill Team.
The triple crown of Kill Team. And yeah, I don't think they've ever won a big one over here in the East Coast. Janice has won a lot of RTTs over here with them, I'm sure, and a lot of Nova Pods, but nothing huge. Yeah. Over in Spain, there is a guy named Rudy, who is like one of the top players in Spain, and he is an Eldar player, but I don't know if he's won a big one. I think he's just won a lot of smaller tournaments.
Mm.
So shout out to that guy. And and there was, I don't know how big this tournament actually was, but it was one that Glass Half Dead covered over a year and a half ago. It was Dark Sphere. It was in London, and Peter Worsley took Osriani.
That's right.
And he is he's Worsel Muffin on the Discord. So shout out to him. He's probably listening, like, how did he knows that? But yeah, we do our research here.
I mean, with a name like that, you know, it's kind of just put the pieces together.
Osriani, what more can we say?
They're good.
They're real good. Yeah, I don't think any faction has one more than them. Next up, demons, chaos demons.
Mm.
So demons are a weird one where they've never really done that great in a big tournament, but they have crushed RTTs all over.
Yeah.
John Sao, big demon player. I don't know if he's ever taken first at an RTT. He's definitely taken a top four, a top eight. Mm-hmm. Or not at an RTT, but at a GT.
I would hope he would take a top eight in an RTT.
There's eight players. Yeah, he's definitely taken top four, top eight with demons at a GT over in Spain. I would bet money on it.
Warp Charge Gaming ran deep at Nova with demons, correct?
Yes. Yeah, that was another big demon performance. They are a good faction. They can do it. But, I mean, their best results so far are like top four, top eight, but never the big one.
Right.
Death Guard is next, and Death Guard has won a tournament. You know what? Going back, I'm trying to think about, was anything ever changed to Osriani or Guard for after they like won stuff? Because I don't think anything changed with Osriani, like nerf-wise.
I don't think anything changed for Osriani nerf-wise. I don't think there was an FAQ, but I think something came out in a director's commentary talking about how like orders kind of worked for Astra Militarum.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then I think they also had to talk about how not auxiliaries. Well, yeah, I guess auxiliaries, like how scions work and stuff with the regimental doctrines.
Yeah, Guard have definitely been nerfed with the advisor rule. So before you used to be able to give Gottfried and Pious orders, which
I'm so happy that we never had to suffer through that. Cause honestly, like that just would have been insane. I don't know how I would still be playing Kill Team. It's a good thing they got that fact out as fast as they did.
Yeah, Guard is still in need of nerfs, but they have been
nerfed.
Yeah,
no.
Elliot, to his credit, was not even using... I don't even think the Blackstone medals were out when he won.
No, they weren't. They weren't. They didn't come out until... Well, they may have been out at the time, but they never came out with Kill Team rules until probably a year after Kill Team dropped, I want to say.
Yeah. It was in that first year.
Yeah.
And Osriani, I don't think they've ever been nerfed at all.
Yeah, so they're something to look at, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Death Guard is next. What were you saying? Sorry.
I don't even think that Osriani are like... I don't even think they're like overpowered. I just think they're really good and they're a really high skill level team to like master.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I don't know.
They aren't, like, unless there's something like, we're forgetting, I don't think they've had to change anything for that faction.
Yeah. I mean, they move fast, but it's like, that's kind of their whole faction identity. So it's like, how do you balance that?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so Death Guard.
Death Guard. They have won the big one once upon a time. It sounds weird because they are not, they haven't been like a top faction in such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But again, Elliot Miller won Adepticon with Death Guard. And I believe, they were nerfed. It was they changed the flail used to be 2 damage.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was as a result of Elliot, but that is a tournament winning team that has been nerfed.
Yeah. I think I can't remember if the flail was like 1 damage in like big 40K at the time, and it was just like kind of like a simple misprint or what happened there. But yeah, that weapon has no business being 2 damage.
Not at all. Yeah.
So many attacks. It's so unnecessary.
Yeah. At that point, it's like, why would you ever take the plague cleaver when you have this 2 damage thing that is guaranteed to hit? Yeah, though. Death Guard, it was Poxwalker spam. They mm-hmm. were first at Adepticon 2019. Yeah, I mean, really, really strong team. Next up is Drakari. So I'm thinking about it, and as much as we complain about Drakari, I don't think they've ever won a GT or major.
Yeah, which is insane to think about, right?
And I checked the big ones in Spain, and from what I could find, they haven't won a big one in Spain, although they have really good Drakari players over there that win a lot of RTTs.
Mm.
And I have checked over on the East Coast tourneys, like they've never won Nova or anything. And the best they've done is top 4 at SoCal, that was Alec Berryman. Top 8 at LVO 2020, also Alec Berryman. 4th, I believe, at the Command Point Invitational, that was Luz.
Yeah.
Top 8, they're always there. Top 8 at BATS, which was Luz. 2nd at TAO, which was moi. I don't think they've ever won the big one. And then I'm sure they've been top 4, top 8 at those Freak Wars tournaments over in Spain, but
they're a definite gatekeeper, but I think that faction has a lot of, not a lot of, but they have like a big weakness in my opinion.
Yeah.
And that's just, they can't field very many multi-damage weapons, like strong multi-damage weapons.
Mm-hmm.
That electro-corrosive whip, it like wounds on a 4-up and you're like, okay. And then it's like, you play them one way and they're more defense oriented. You play them another way, they're more shooting oriented, but they're very squishy. So they don't really work well in arena. And then witches compared to the other two, are just so specialized and don't have any other upside to them, really, I guess. So it's like, I don't know. Yeah. I like them a lot. I want them to do good. They're like my favorite faction right now, but
they are. I mean, they're always there. They can obviously win it.
They're definitely due for one at this point. Like,
they are a strong, strong faction. I said that AdMech might be the strongest faction without a tourney win, but I think Drakari probably have that locked up as good as AdMech.
At least statistically wise, just because they've made so many deep runs in tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
So many more, I guess I would say.
Yeah. Next up is Star Striders. Nope. There is nothing for Star Striders. I think they won a Nova Pod once.
Yeah, I was about to say. I think that's it, though.
Yeah, I don't think they've placed well at any big tournament at all. So let's just move right past it.
Yeah.
Gellerpox, they were top 4 at the very first LVO.
Yeah.
And that
they're
was
a good faction.
Yeah, they are. They are a really strong faction. Big sleeper faction. Mm-hmm. They have their weaknesses, but if you don't know how to play against them, they can
You're in trouble. You are in trouble.
Yeah, they're strong. They have so many different profiles and like so many different little interactions and a lot of strong models.
Yeah.
I think they could. I don't know if they. I don't like. I think any faction, not any faction, but I think they can win a major, but I don't think that it's that likely just because they do have some like resounding weaknesses. Like they aren't.
Yeah.
They have no ranged capabilities, really.
Yeah.
Like they can't threaten in that whole part of the game. So on certain open boards, they can really struggle.
Mm-hmm.
But they always. Yeah, they'll always have a place, I think. They are a good team. They're on a horde arena, with like great. Yeah, they're a horde where like the 5-point models have like LD8.
Like, yeah, it's crazy. Like, are you joking? Like
Yeah. Next up, Gene Stealer Cult. And they have not, to my knowledge, won a big major tournament, but they've come really close multiple times.
Yeah.
Top 4 at SoCal. And
second place at Slaughterfest?
Freak Wars. Slaughterfest never happened.
Freak Wars, okay.
They were, second place over at the Freak Wars tournament in Spain. They're real good. But, I mean, I think there are formats that they like, and there's formats that they don't really like.
Mm-hmm.
They're a horde. That is, they you look at them and they die.
Yeah.
But hey, they're really good on Ibericon.
Apparently.
So, yeah. Next up, Grey Knights. Now, the top finish ever for Grey Knights. Top 8 at LVO. I think his name is Jacob Cordero.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I don't know exactly where in the top 8 he fell, but I know that our friend Sean Perry, Dwigged on Discord, Command Point co-host that hasn't been here in a minute, but he was top 8 at the Command Point Invitational with Grey Knights. Yeah. So those are the two biggest results I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how well they've done anywhere else.
Yeah. I think they're strong. I mean, hell, like we lost to one.
Yeah.
At
our first tournaments.
in our first couple like tournaments, just using like the missions out of like the core rulebook. So.
Yeah, Grey Knights were the boogeyman for us for a little bit.
Oh, they were. No, like we showed up and we were literally like, we have designed lists to kill Grey Knights and nothing else. Yeah. I'm not joking. I had one goal that tournament.
All right.
So, if you say Death Watch, dude, I'm gonna my head's gonna blow up.
Oh, actually I skipped Death Watch. So yeah. Death Watch is next. Yeah. I actually don't know. I'm trying to think.
I know that Bearned Chris Harris has won.
He's some RTTs.
Won some RTTs, yeah.
But as far as like a big tourney goes, I legitimately have no idea. I don't think they've made a top 8. Maybe like early on, like really early on. Like early, like maybe like no.
Yeah, when everybody was scared of like it was at 100 points, and everybody was scared of the guy who went on eBay and bought 3 more frag cannons and had magnetized all his Death Watch.
Yeah.
But don't know how you do it. Don't you know how you do it with that faction?
Yeah, they have some pretty glaring weaknesses.
Yeah.
What else we got? Harlequins is a faction that has won a major tournament. They won Bad Moon over in London.
No, because it was literally at this place called Bad Moon Cafe, and it's like a cafe / bar / you go there and you can like just like play Warhammer. Mm-hmm. I guess that's like their whole deal, and that sounds freaking awesome. And I wish there was a place like that around here.
That would be, yeah, I would love that.
I would just live in the basement or live in the alley beside it. Yeah, so Harlequins, they can do it, I guess. You just gotta, you know, dodge those psychic matchups, or, you know, have your Grey Knight opponent roll perils, explode, and wipe out half of his kill team.
Yeah, that'll do it. I think the safest way is to just avoid it entirely. Which I would bet money that I think his name is Damien. His name is Alfonso on Discord. Right. I would bet money that he did not have to face any psychers at that tournament. And that's not like a slight to him. It's just I don't know how it's possible without getting really lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they are a team, if you avoid those matchups, that can win. Mm-hmm. Like a tourney. They have so many cool like abilities, and they present such a unique problem.
Yeah. I almost took him on TAO, but then I decided to go Drakari instead.
Yeah.
Just what?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, you cut. I think like you said something and it like cut out a little bit, and it sounded like you just said no. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I know what faction I plan to take TAO, Shane.
Yeah. Actually, I said yeah.
Jeez. Okay.
Not quite.
All right. Next faction, please.
The next one up is Heretic Astartes. So
these guys are pretty good.
They are pretty good. They have been to the top once, and that was Magfest. That was Will Blood took them.
Oh, Magfest. First. Yeah.
And yeah, I mean he ran rampant through that tournament. Next, I mean Will Blood also was top four at Nova that year, or the in 2019.
Right.
And most recently was we had Micromancer play second at BAO with Heretic Astartes.
Yeah.
And I think Matt Hurl, he was like top 16, I believe, at BAO. Something
yeah, and like he that. Also ran Heretic, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're a good faction.
They're very good. Excel on Arena, definitely. not that bad on an open board, but definitely a lot. Jeez, I say not that bad, but they're definitely a lot weaker on an open board.
For sure.
With, like, sparse terrain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, next up.
Why are you laughing?
It's
true. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, they have not won anything.
Why are we talking about them?
Yeah. Throw them in the trash. Seriously, though, Crude have not won anything. They have not placed.
Not yet.
Not yet. Right now, the Crute player is 25th out of 45 in Worldwide Open, and that's probably they are flying close to the sun.
That right is now. We're reaching the zenith of Crute, I believe.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything else to say about Crute.
Nope.
Next up is Necrons. Oh, Necrons.
Ooh.
They won the Command Point Invitational. I believe top four at the original LVO, and they placed top three at Adepticon, top four, third and fourth at BAO. They are a really good team. They are always there. Oh, and yeah. Top four at LVO too. LVO 2020 with Glass Half Dead. I mean, what else is there to say about Necrons?
They're too good. If I could draw a comparison to Big Hammer 40K right now, Novak Necrons specifically are what Iron Hands Space Marines were during LVO 2020 for Big Hammer 40K. That's like my exact comparison. They're so good. Literally anybody can pick them up and do well with them and run deep, even if this is your if you go to a tournament and it is your first time playing kill team, there's a very high chance that you will do well and place high with running Novak Necrons.
Yeah, like actually high, not high for your expectations as a new player.
I'm talking like second place,
yeah,
real
like top
potential
four.
To get second, take it all, top four. Yeah.
It is, yeah, that is the reality of Necrons. They are a faction that allows you to punch way above your weight. Like,
yeah.
Like one of us versus Mike Tyson in his prime.
Yeah, I was just thinking of, oh gosh, what's his name from Mike Tyson's Punch-Out? Who's the protagonist? He's also
Little
in
Mac.
Smash. Little Mac, yeah.
Yeah.
You can punch well above your weight with those little flayed ones. All right. Yeah. Before my blood pressure rises any further, what's the next faction?
Orcs, another faction with huge history of success in Kill Team.
Yeah.
Once
yeah.
upon a time, orcs were considered a not great faction, and it's weird because they've won more than almost any other team, not called Ostrogani.
They've gotten nerfed.
They are a team that was nerfed after being successful.
Mm-hmm.
So they were top four at, actually second place at Nova 2019. Then they got nerfed. Then they won SoCal a month later. They weren't nerfed until after the SoCal win, but it was because of that performance at Nova from Alex Torbear that got them nerfed.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're talking about the Choppa point increase, increasing it from 0 to 1.
That's such a good story.
Yeah. And they won SoCal. They won Freak Wars 2019, which was in Madrid, and they won the TTS 2020 Freak Wars online. So they are a very good faction. They have been to the top, and they won the LVO GT, which was Freebooters.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Orcs have a history of being very good in Kill Team. They have won a lot, and they got nerfed for it. So, next up, little piece of trivia here. Nobody's going to know this. If I told somebody this, like, in a vacuum, they would not believe me. Servants of the Abyss have won a major tournament, like a big tournament, and they were nerfed because of it.
So what was the nerf to them exactly? Because a lot of people aren't even familiar with this faction.
Yeah, so when Elliot Miller won with Servants at Warhammer World, and when he did, there was no cap on the amount of Negavolt cultists that you could take.
Mm-hmm.
And after this tournament, because of this, they made it so that you can only take a maximum of 4 Negavolt cultists, which has seriously hurt that faction's viability to this day. And they haven't really recovered from that nerf, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Elliot Miller has, his name is going to come up a lot when we're talking about winning tournaments and getting and playing factions that were later on nerfed. But I mean, really, props to Elliot, because he finds what's really good and then he wins with it. And
yeah,
a lot of it just has to do with the fact that he's a really good player. So
yeah, I can't believe that. I can't believe that part of the Blackstone Fortress box got nerfed so bad, and then the other just like kind of got a little slap on the wrist.
Yeah, when arguably, I mean, the Gottfried side of it was way more problematic than
still is.
And also it's like, I don't know, it's just weird to think about. And like, if I asked somebody, like a Kill Team player, which tournament do you think has won more major tournaments, Drakari or Servants of the Abyss?
Oh yeah.
Like, who do you think? Like, nobody's going to guess Servants of the Abyss.
No.
Once upon a time, they were there at the top. And speaking of at the top, we move on to Tau, who have been there.
Yeah.
They won Nova 2019.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think.
I'm really not sure if they've done anything since then. They should have performed well at LVO, but only one person took them to LVO. There were 50 players.
Yeah.
50 players, I think, at LVO 2020.
54, I think.
54 for the Kill Team event. Only one Tau player and he was a newer player, I'm fairly certain, we've been told, and he did not do that well.
They did actually, Birinid took them to Freak Wars.
That's right.
TTS Freak Wars, and he took fourth place, which is a really good finish. And
yeah, they're still a good faction.
For sure.
Nothing's happened to them. It's just they didn't really get a lot of action, I guess. And I think part of that has to do with the fact that Savior Protocols is such a negative player interaction on both sides.
You know,
like this unspoken gentleman's agreement.
Yeah, I believe there was a Tau in top eight at the Command Point Invitational.
Yeah, you're right.
And Alec Berryman placed top eight with Tau at TAO. So that's about as good as it's gotten since. Although, look out for Birinid is doing very well right now in WWO with Tau.
Mm-hmm.
And he's currently 3-0. So look out for that potential top placing coming up. Thousand Sons is next.
Yeah, so have they ever won a big one?
I'm thinking.
They did well in what was it? Bay Area Tournament Simulation or BAO 2020.
Yeah, top eight.
You had to overcome them.
Yes.
I remember that because I was your practice partner with them, and I'm like, holy crap, these guys are good on Arena.
They were top four with James Skinner at LVO 2020. They were top eight with James Skinner at TAO.
There's a theme here.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't think they placed that well at the Invitational. Maybe like top 16, top 12, maybe, but not top 8.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they're pretty good here on WWO, so we'll see. But, yeah, I don't think they've ever won the big one. Good faction, though. Really strong faction. They can for sure do it.
Yeah. I know Shane Watts has performed well with them as well in the past.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another player who I have not heard of in a long time.
Yeah.
Okay, next up, Tyranids. Tyranids have won the big one. They won, like, the the second big one, which was LVO 2019.
And, this is a faction that's gotten nerfed a couple times, right?
Yeah, they were nerfed after LVO 2019.
Metabolic Overdrive tactic?
Yeah, Metabolic Overdrive is a big hit to them. The ability to, like, advance or, like, move and then spend 2 CP and like you get to charge right after. That was really strong, and they pretty much got rid of that whole interaction.
Yeah,
with,
they nerfed that tactic twice. Like,
yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, they made that one pretty rough. But yeah, Tyranids, the Gaunt Swarm, it was real strong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anything else to say about Tyranids? They have not been the same since.
No, they have not.
they have not come close. Sisters of Silence, they haven't even really had a chance, in my opinion.
No, they haven't. They got released in the summer, and nobody kind of took them seriously.
Yeah.
Which is a shame, because they're a pretty good faction overall. I was just talking to Eric Krasinski, Utsikol, and telling him, you know, they've got great weapon options. They've got a 3-up armor save. They completely shut down psychic factions. And they can field a good amount of bodies. So it's like, these guys are good.
Yeah,
I
they're only
don't think anyone's given them a chance. They don't really... They only got one type of model. So, I mean, I understand that. So
they do have the major weakness that is plasma. They suck against plasma, like
big time. They've got no invuln or anything, so they can just get shot.
Yeah.
On Arena, I would expect them to do well with the Vigilators.
For sure. Yeah, they are definitely a pretty good team. I like them. And I think that wraps it up. Am I forgetting anything? I think that's all of them.
We did every single faction?
Yeah. We powered right through it, and we talked about the
top. We even remembered to talk about Custodes this time.
Yeah, we didn't leave them out like we do on the...
Or excuse me, Custodes. Gotta get the pronunciation right for these fake words. I'm joking. Not really. All right. I actually really like custodies. They're just, it's just not in a good place in kill team. So all of these teams that we just talked about and everything that kind of, I guess, like every single, there's a lot of different tournament formats, which some of these factions excelled in, some of them didn't do as well. Some of them just got completely shut out because of the format, basically, and it's just such a struggle to get there with certain factions. But I think a big part of that was because I think there's only literally been one big, big kill team event where players had the option to just choose their secondaries. And I'm not talking about a random, like randomly generated list of secondaries to choose from. I'm talking about you get a packet with between like 14 and 18 secondaries, and you can just choose three, and those are your secondaries.
Yeah, and it's like inclusive secondaries, not like, because BAO had a big list that you could choose from, but it was like they were all kind of like weird, and like it was kind of hard to, like they were really only good for teams that were already good anyway, so they might as well have just been a random draw,
right?
LVO 2020 was pretty good about that. And outside of that, I mean, yeah, I think Zenith really opens the door for a lot of these struggling factions to come in and potentially do well.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know, ourselves, Command Point have been working with Tim from Data Team, as well as Birnid and Udzikol. We've all been working together, and we cooked up the Zenith tournament packet. And it's basically, I don't want to say basically because there's a lot more to it, but it's 125 points. It's all on Arena with some modified Arena maps. We changed some things on the maps just a little bit to iron out some of the kinks we thought were not good for competitive play. And then we included free choice secondaries. And I think with free choice secondaries, it kind of like raises all kill teams, because now no matter what faction you're playing, you're going to choose from a balanced list of secondaries, and you're going to have a chance to like actually score points.
Yeah. And I mean, you can look at this and say like, oh, well, you know, Drakari, Necrons, Asuryani are all pretty good on this packet. The way I see it is they were going to be good no matter what we did. So
yeah, unless we did something to actually like, I don't want to, if we did anything to modify how those factions worked, which we just didn't want to do for like a one-off packet, like that's Games Workshop's job, is to balance their rules and their factions. We've got our competitive packet. There's always going to be good factions, and that's just how it is in any game that you pick up. There's always going to be a good character who's better than most others. There's always going to be factions who are better than most others. That's just the nature of balancing games.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you might as well make a packet where every team can succeed rather than only a few of the teams, because if it's only a few, it's going to be the same few. And that's kind of what we were going for with Zenith. So you guys can go check out our Zenith unveiling on our YouTube channel. The whole live stream was posted there, so you can go check that out. The packet will probably be posted in the description here. If not, you can find it really easily on our Discord or just on the video for the Zenith unveiling.
Mm-hmm.
Go check that out. It's going to be what we're playing on. It's the next big tournament on TTS. Yeah, I mean, it's. I hope that this packet really picks up steam, because we worked on it for a while and I'm pretty proud of it, and I think it's a really good product.
Yeah. I genuinely believe that this is probably the best kill team competitive tournament pack ever? Question mark. I'll let you guys decide that for yourselves. But yeah, go download the pack, play a couple games, and then get back to us with your feedback. Right now, the packet's in its beta stage. So, you know, we want to listen to the community and what you guys have to say and make changes, make alterations if we feel we have to. But yeah, give it a whirl. Let us know what you think.
Yeah. So I guess anything else? You know, there was this is no longer happening, but for the future, we just did a limited merch run. It was the first time we've done anything like that. It's no longer happening, but we will in the future be doing another. Basically, what we did was like a 3-day open period. If you're on our Discord, you would have gotten dibs on that essentially to see the page. It was like a 3-day period where you could go on our Teespring store that you just opened up, Ryan, and we were selling a shirt, a Command Point shirt, a Command Point hoodie, which is super cool, and some stickers too.
Yeah. And that was just with the logo that we've been using right now for
a few months now, at least.
Yeah. I'm gonna be fully transparent here. I had no idea how Teespring worked when I opened this store. I had no idea. I had never bought anything from Teespring, when I launched the store and everything, and then I clicked on an item, and then it said like 3 days. You have like 3 days to purchase this. I was like, oh no. And so if you were able to snag up some of that Command Point merch, thank you very much. We appreciate the support so much. And hopefully that stuff will get out to you soon.
Yeah, we had a pretty good a lot of people like picked some stuff up, which I was really happy about. So
yeah.
Next time we do that, we're gonna make sure to
let you guys know well ahead in advance.
Final shout outs to our Patreon followers. You guys are the best.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening and that's something you'd be interested in, please consider following. We have exclusive series on there, and you guys get early access to everything that we upload, with the exception of the battle reports and like urgent announcements. So all other content you guys are going to get first. And again, exclusive series that are only ever on Patreon. They're never going up on the YouTube channel. So check us out there. We would be extremely grateful. And thank you again to all of you that are already following us over there.
Yeah. To everybody who's watching this on YouTube, if you are not subscribed, and I know there are a significant amount of you who are not subscribed, please subscribe. You know, you keep coming back. 69% of our viewers and listeners are not subscribed. I know you guys keep coming back to us. Just hit that sub button. I kind of don't want you to, because 69 is the funny number, and that makes me chuckle slightly every single time. But yeah, we'd really appreciate it. It helps the channel grow. And, you know, why miss out on any of this good content that you obviously enjoy if you keep coming back?
Yep. You said it. You said it perfectly.
Yeah, so that about does it for Command Point Podcast episode 31. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you all again in the next one.